Amen. You glad to be here today?
Yes.
Man, if you're visiting with us today, man, we're glad you're here today. Amen.
Yes.
We want you to know three words. We love you.
Amen.
Amen. No matter where you're at, where you came from, what your background is, what your ethnicity is, we don't care.
Nope.
We love you.
Amen.
Amen. We do. We do. Some of y'all are pretty hard to love, man. But we love you. Amen. All right, we're going to be in 1 Samuel. Getting way ahead, ain't I? 1 Samuel chapter 20. And I just want you to know, man, last week's message and that chapter 19, man, it was just, for me, it was just such a life-changing chapter to be able to go through and see what God was doing in there. It is a huge chapter in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 19. Amen. Today's title, The Uncertain Path. Everybody say that with me. I'm trying to lay this out for you so that you can keep it in your mind as we go through this chapter today as we look at these 42 verses. Amen. Uncertain path. Listen, if you're here this morning and Jesus is your Savior, come on. And you have put your faith and your trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins, for the sacrifice of the cross that He made on Calvary for the sins of the world.
Amen.
Then listen, that uncertain path has an absolute destination. Come on.
Amen.
In other words, you may find yourself on an uncertain path, but always know and stay focused on your destination, because the destination is the only thing that isn't going to change.
Amen.
Are you following me? I want you to see that as we go into this chapter, man, because God showed me something huge. He showed me something huge, and I want to show that to you this morning, man. You know what? You always know where I'm going to be. You have no reason not to read ahead. Come on. You know, next week I'm going to be, guess where I'm going to be? 21. Right? You always know where I'm going to be. Go read ahead. Ask God to speak to you. Ask God to show you. And that way I'm not laying the foundation for you the first time. You've already read it. You've already read it. Amen. All right. So last week, one more time, the uncertain path.
The uncertain path.
No. That was terrible. One more time, the uncertain path. One, two, three.
The uncertain path.
Listen, you're going to find yourself on these paths. Amen. And God is trying to show you this morning how to react and how to deal with it. Amen. So listen up. He wants you to see something. Mostly He wants you to see Him. Right? All right, so Saul, last week, or up to this point, Saul has tried to kill David with a spear three times. Am I right? He also tried to kill him with the Philistines by saying, hey, if you want to marry my daughter, you got to go get 100 Philistine foreskins. What did David do? He brought 200, right? He brought 200. Saul even sent a hit squad to his house. Praise God that his wife Michal seen him outside and let him down through a window and he got away. Then he went to Naoth where Samuel was, and you know what? Saul sent another hit squad. Oh, wait a minute. And then another hit squad. Oh, wait a minute. And then another hit squad. Three hit squads to Naoth, where Samuel and David were, to try to kill David. And then he finally said, well, I'll just go myself. But what we've seen was God put that hedge of protection in a... Oh, we've seen Him protect David in one of the most powerful ways that you can ever see God act. As He put that hedge of protection. And every time one of these people who meant harm to His anointed one got to that point, they just couldn't help but praise and worship and prophesy to the Lord. You know, I'm anointed.
Yes.
I'm anointed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Are you?
Yes.
I have the same protection. I have the same protection. So let's pick up where we left off last week. Amen. Then David fled from Naoth at Ramah and went to Jonathan and asked, what have I done? What is my crime? How have I wronged your father that he is trying to kill me? That's a fair question. Never, Jonathan said. You are not going to die. Look, my father doesn't do anything, great or small, without letting me know. Why would he hide this from me? It isn't so. But David took an oath and said, your father knows very well that I have found favor in your eyes. And he has said to himself, Jonathan must not know this or he will be grieved. Yet as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, there is only a step between me and death. Jonathan said to David, whatever you want me to do, I will do. So after these multiple attempts on David's life there in Naoth, he flees, and he flees to where Jonathan is, am I right? And he flees to the one person that he thought he could trust. The one person that he thought he could trust. Amen? And David, if you read it, if you listen here to the context, David wants to know, hey, me and you, we got a covenant. We made a covenant, friendship covenant. Why didn't you tell me that your father had sent these hit squads to kill me? And Jonathan, he says, hey, my father doesn't do anything without telling me. Amen? That's clearly not the case. That's clearly not the case. I understand what David's saying. Why didn't you tell me? Jonathan thinks he knows everything, but really Jonathan don't know anything. So what David is saying here, it's legit. You know, why didn't you tell me? We got this covenant between us. But Jonathan assures him, hey, I'm not falling into or buying any of these lies of my father. I am still your covenant friend. I am still your loyal friend. But what's clear here is, I think we get a pretty good idea here now that Saul may know that that anointing took place of David. Amen? And we'll see a little bit more of that later on in this chapter. But David said, there's only a step between me and death. I love this because when you're reading through the Bible, I want you to know when you run across things like this, God puts them in there for a reason. And what the reason is, he's trying to show us David's emotional point, emotional feelings at that point. You, why would he put that in there? Right? Why would David say, hey, there's only a step between me and death? Listen, David feels like he is on a tightrope walking across the Grand Canyon in a 50-mile-an-hour wind. Come on. I'm telling you, that's how he feels. He feels like there's only one step between him and death. You know what I got to thinking? You and I only have one step. One step between life and death. You don't know when that step's going to happen, do you? Neither do I. But I promise you this. There'll come a day when you'll only have one more step to take. You know, I did a little Google search, AI search, because I wanted to know how many people die in the world every day. 158,000. Do you think all those people knew the day before that that was going to be their last step? There was always... There was always, for you and me, even today, right? We are one step away from death. But listen, if you belong to Christ, death has no power over you. Amen. So what I like to say is I'm one step away from graduation. Right? One step away from the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be
present with the Lord.
One step away from seeing my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Face to face. Oh, I look forward to that day. Amen. But listen, you understand now, David, it's emotional for him. If I read this the way that David was saying, he's saying, Jonathan, don't you know I'm one step between death? One step away from death? Can't you see that, Jonathan? That's how he would be saying it. He's emotional. Right here. Amen? All right, let's read verse 5 through 11. David said, look, tomorrow is the new moon feast, and I am supposed to dine with the king. Let me go and hide in the field until evening of the day after tomorrow. If your father misses me at all, tell him, David earnestly asked my permission to hurry to Bethlehem. his hometown because an annual sacrifice is being made there for his whole clan. If he says, very well, then your servant is safe. But if he loses his temper, you can be sure that he is determined to harm me. As for you, I love this, show kindness to your servant, for you have brought him into a covenant with you before the Lord. We've seen that last week when David and Jonathan entered into that friendship covenant. Amen. And then David says this, if I am guilty, then kill me yourself. Why hand me over to your father? Jonathan says, never. I wish I could say it the way he said it. He is never. That's what he says. Never. Jonathan said, he said, if I had the least inkling, what does least inkling mean? If I had the least idea, if I had any idea that my father was determined to harm you, wouldn't I tell you? David asked, who will tell me if your father answers you harshly? Come, Jonathan said, let's go out into the field. So they went out together. So David proposes a test, right? And this test that he proposes is going to test Saul's heart to see where it is towards David. Am I right? Now listen, if you read this the way I read this, David here still seems to be a little bit shaken and a little bit unconvinced about the fact that Jonathan didn't tell him about the assassinations that happened in Naoth. Because he says, hey, if I'm guilty of something, if I've done something wrong, man, you don't hand me over to your father. You kill me. You ever been skeptical? Listen, we live in a skeptical world. Amen. Test every spirit, my friends. Amen. Test every spirit. Test every spirit. So Jonathan's response, though, man, he's steadfast, isn't he? It's the same as before. It's the exact same as before. He did not know that his father, who is the king, had sent out these hit squads to kill David at Naoth. David's trying to get an answer. Jonathan's trying to encourage him and calm him down and let him know the covenant of friendship that we have is still there. Amen. You ever had a good friend? Huh? You ever had a really good friend, like a best friend? One that would tell you the truth? We all need those people in our life. Amen. Not just tell us what we want to hear. Tell us what we need to hear. You know, the problem is that when people begin to tell us the truth and tell us what we need to hear, well, it seems like we quit calling them, we'll keep going by, and that friendship kind of dissolves. But you need people to tell you the truth. Amen. Right? You say, Pastor, how will I know if they're telling me the truth? Well, because it will line up with this right here. Amen. It will line up with this right here, the absolute ultimate truth. Right? Amen. All right, we all need a friend like Jonathan, man. I'm just saying. All right, let's go on to verse 12 and 13. Then Jonathan said to David, I swear by the Lord, the God of Israel, I will surely sound out my father by this time, day after tomorrow. If he is favorably disposed towards you, will I not send a word to you and let you know? But if my father intends to harm you, may the Lord deal with Jonathan, be it ever so severely. If I do not let you know and send you away in peace, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. So Jonathan makes David a promise here. He says, hey, man, I'm going to find out what my father's intentions are, what his true intentions are, what his attitude is towards you. And I am going to let you know whether it's good or whether it's bad. Count on me, David, my friend. I will let you know. Amen. That's what he's saying here. But he says something kind of odd at the end here, doesn't he? He said, may the Lord be with you as he has been with my father. I want you to remember something because I told you to remember this when we were back in that chapter. When God called Saul, remember? God gave him and put him in the position to absolutely be successful. Gave him every single tool he would need, including the Holy Spirit came powerfully upon him. Now, just because Saul chose in his pride and disobedience and his arrogance against God to do things his own way instead of God's, I want you to know something. Even now, the door for repentance is still open. Can I tell you something? My Jesus, my God, he's the one that opens doors that nobody can shut. And he's the one that shuts doors that nobody can open. And this door for Saul to repent, come on, is still open. Because he is the one that opened it. Man, there's some mercy in there. There's some grace in there, ain't there? Now listen, he will never be king again. God already said, hey, am I a human that I should lie? Your kingdom, your kingship is done. But the repentance, the door of repentance, my friends, is open. It's always open. But there is a limit. There is a limit. You say, what is it? I don't know. I don't know, but I'm not going to push it. I'm not going to push the limit. Amen. I don't want to push the limit. I want to stay far away from that line as I can. I don't ever want to push the limit with God. I don't want to. Sometimes I do. Come on. It don't work out either. It never works out. Man, we serve a great big God, don't we? All right. Let's go on to verse 14 through 17. But show me, this is Jonathan speaking, but show me unfailing kindness like the Lord's kindness as long as I live, so that I will not be killed. That's kind of odd for him to say, isn't it? And do not ever cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, may the Lord call David's enemies to account. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as himself. Man. That's a friend, man, to love your friend as you love yourself. That is a friendship, man. I just want you to know that. And we should all have at least one of those. Come on. I bet you can't really count the friends that you have on one hand. I'm talking about a friend that sticks closer than a brother. That's what I'm talking about. Amen? But when you find someone like that, you make sure you hold on to them because you need them. And not only that, but they need you as well. You miss the friendship here. You miss a lot in this particular chapter right here. Am I right? Now, one thing we can read right here in this chapter, we know for sure now, Jonathan absolutely knows David is going to be king. Absolutely. Any doubt is gone. Jonathan knows David is going to be king. He said, don't ever cut me off. Amen. But you know what is something else he knows? He knows the political dynamic here too, and I'll tell you why. Because in this time and in this culture, listen to me, when one royal house, a new royal house came, what the new royal house would do, they would kill all of the descendants or all of the potential descendants or potential ones who could step up and take the kingship, they would just kill them all. And Jonathan knows David's going to be king. And here we see the second covenant that these two made. First, it was a covenant of friendship. And here it is a covenant that they would care for each other's family. Amen? Man, Jonathan wanted David to say, hey, I know you're going to be king. I just need to know. I need you to make a covenant with me and reaffirm that covenant because you love me, that you will not harm me nor my family, when your family runs the kingdom. Man, you say, why is he mentioning this so early? You know what? This chapter is a lot about God laying the foundation for the upcoming chapters. And I want you to know something. In book number 2 in 2 Samuel, there's two times in there when David will have the opportunity to keep this covenant. You know what he does? He keeps it. He keeps his word. He keeps his covenant to his friend. Amen. All right, let's go on. Verse 18 through 23. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is a new moon feast. You will be missed because your seat will be empty. The day after tomorrow, toward evening, Go to the place where you hid when this trouble began and wait by the stone easel. Can you guys picture this in your mind as I'm saying this? All right. I will shoot three arrows to the side of it as though I were shooting at a target. Then I will send a boy and say, go find the arrows. Go find the arrows. If I say to him, look, the arrows are on this side of you, bring them here. Then come, because as surely as the Lord lives, you are safe. There is no danger. But, dang that word, but. But if I say to the boy, look, the arrows are beyond you, then you must go because the Lord, everybody say the Lord.
The Lord.
Don't you love that? You know what Jonathan is saying right here? Jonathan is saying no matter what happens, the Lord is the one who is deciding. The Lord has sent you away. And then he reminds David about the matter you and I discussed. Remember, the Lord is witness between you and me forever. Man. So once Jonathan learns of his father's intention, which is the king, towards David, he is going to communicate that to David through a signal. Am I right? So he was going to shoot three arrows into out as he was target practicing. Now listen, and depending on what the boy said, right? Depending on what he said to the boy, was going to determine whether Saul was in favor or favorably towards David, or if he was still intent on killing David. Am I right? Oh, I want you to see something, because if you don't see it, you're not reading it right. This is a very crucial time in David's life. A crucial time. This is a pivotal point in David's life, right here. Are you following me? I mean, think about David as he's standing there by that easel. And the arrows start hitting the ground. Listen. And then he's waiting for that voice. He is waiting for that voice. Because the words that are said in that voice are potentially going to flip his entire life upside down. Inside out. We've already seen his emotion. We know he's a little bit emotional at this point, right? This is such a crucial time, man. Either he would be welcomed back to the palace, welcomed back to his home, or he would be a fugitive until Saul died or gave up the hunt for him. I want you to know something. There was a lot riding on these few arrows. Come on. You know what? Sometimes there's a lot riding on that call from the doctor. Come on. Am I right? Can you picture a man and he's walking back and forth in front of the bathroom door? What do you think he's doing? His wife's in there with one of them little pregnancy tests. Life is fixing to change. You don't think, just one or two lines. One line, you're good. Two lines, you're good. But life has changed. Hey, man. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes there's these very, very small, what we would seem small moments in time. But on them hinge something huge, or a huge transformation or transition in our life. Are you following me? This is what we're looking at right here. I wish you could put yourself in David's spot, because you've been there. You've been there waiting for that phone call. You've been there waiting for that text. You've been there waiting. Have you ever bowed down and say, will you marry me? You're waiting. Oh, damn. Us men, we done ran through our head a million times if she said no. Right? Because that's going to change. Either way, that's a transitional period, right? But you see what I'm saying? Just Just one word, just a few words can change your entire future, your entire life. Amen? That's what I want you to see here. That is so important that you see that here moving forward. He's waiting. David's waiting. One arrow, two arrow, three arrow. What do you think he's hoping for, man? Huh? Let's go. Verse 24 through 34. This is a big read, so just pay attention. So David hid in the field, and when the new moon feast came, the king sat down to eat. He sat in his customary place by the wall, opposite Jonathan, and Abner sat next to Saul, but David's place was empty. Saul said nothing that day, for he thought something must have happened to David to make him ceremonially unclean. Surely he is unclean. Listen, under the law here, there was a lot of things that make you unclean. You could have walked over a grave. You could have touched an unclean animal. You could have touched a corpse. You could have touched a woman in her, you know what I'm talking about, in her menstrual cycle. There's so many things under the law. Praise God, I'm not under the law. Amen. You know what I mean? So many things under the law that could have made you unclean. Verse 27. But the next day, the second day of the month, David's place was empty again. Then Saul said to his son Jonathan, "Why hasn't the son of Jesse come to the meal, either yesterday or today?" Jonathan answered, "Earnestly, David asked me for permission to go to Bethlehem. He said, 'Let me go, because our family is observing a sacrifice in the town, and my brother has ordered me to be there.'" You know, a lot of people look at this and they say, "Well, Pastor, did he ever go to Bethlehem?" No. I can't. There's no. No. He's just putting together a plan. You say, "Well, isn't this a lie?" Yeah. Yeah, it is a lie. Yep. Who knows what a lie is? Amen. A lie is anything that is not the truth. All right? So is this a lie? Yes. When should we lie? Never. Never. That is why he has not come to the king's table. Saul's anger flared up. Saul's anger flared up at Jonathan. He said to him, "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman." Huh? Y'all wonder where we get that phrase from. Huh? "You son of a perverse and rebellious woman, don't I know that you have sided with the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of the mother who bore you?" You think he knows David's been anointed king now? You know, Jonathan's mother's name is Ahinoam. A-H-I-N-O-A-M. Ahinoam. He doesn't sound like he likes her very much. Right? It doesn't, man. When you talk about her like that, it sure doesn't. Verse 31. "As long as the son of Jesse lives on this earth, neither you nor your kingdom will be established. Now send someone to bring him to me, for he must die." Any other way to translate that? "Why should he be put to death? What has he done?" Jonathan asked his father. But listen, here we go again. "But Saul hurled his spear at him to kill him." Somebody please take that spear from this crazy man. Right? He is a nut job. Then Jonathan knew that his father intended to kill David. Well, sometimes in the Bible I just go, duh. Jonathan got up from the table in fierce anger, and on the second day of the feast, he did not eat because he was grieved at his father's shameful treatment of David. So Jonathan knows now, there's no doubt in his mind, Saul's intentions, Saul's attitude towards David. There's no doubt because Saul said he must die. Amen? Listen, Jonathan's support of David, man, it enraged Saul. Right? It enraged Saul to the point, I want you guys to now follow me because this is important. It enraged Saul to the point where he tried to kill his own son by hurling that spear at him. Now, this shows us something, two things. What envy and jealousy and hatred can do. And how there is no reasoning in those things, man. You need to get rid of those things. Because reason is not found in them. If you're trying to kill your own son here. Now here's what makes it ironic. This is the same son he was trying to protect to be the next king. I mean, how stupid is that? That's because hatred and envy and jealousy has no reasoning. Are you following me? Get rid of it, man. You can't reason your way through it when you're in those types of attitudes. It's just not possible. They're evil spirits. Is that my right? We learned that here. They are evil spirits. All right, let's go on. 35 through 40. In the morning, Jonathan went out to the field for his meeting with David. He had a small boy with him, and he said to the boy, "Run and find the arrows I shoot." Remember, David is standing there. He's standing there by the stone easel. He's waiting. As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. You know, when I read that, I thought, man, sure glad he didn't slip. Right? Because he says, as the boy ran, All right. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called out to him. These are the words, man. These are the words right here. "Isn't the arrow beyond you?" David heard those words. Amen. Then he shouted, "Hurry, go quickly, and don't stop." He's not talking to the boy there. The boy picked up the arrow and returned to his master. The boy knew nothing about all this. Only Jonathan and David knew. Then Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said, "Go carry them back to town." Listen, this took courage and trust for Jonathan to do this behind his father's back. Because listen, if his father found out, make no mistake about it, he would turn that murderous rage on him as well. Amen? But he did it anyway. He did it anyway. I want to put something up here. I want to put this up. Transition. Transition. We all live in transition. Amen? The process or a period of changing from one state or condition to another. You know, listen, I'll tell you for me, hopefully for you, my greatest transition was when I confessed the Lord Jesus as my Savior. Because the Bible says, at that point, old things passed away, and behold, all things became new. Do you understand that transition? In that point, I went from death to life. So there is no greater transition that can happen to anybody than that transition. Truly, from one state or condition, from a sinner headed to hell, come on, to a person who wears white, who is righteous, not his own, headed to heaven. What a transition. But listen, this right here, because this is fixing to happen in David's life, am I right? Right here, just by the words, "Isn't it beyond you?" Oh my goodness, because with those words, man, could you just hear them? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. And you just hear them? And the wait, right on time there, sister. By the way, the dog's name is Sister. So it's such a small thing, right? A small thing, just a single arrow, man, told David, and the words that came with it, told David right there, his whole life had just changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, pun intended, some of y'all get that. Some of you will get it later, and some of you won't ever get it. But things can change in the moment of an eye, in the twinkling of an eye. Am I right? He would no longer be welcomed at the palace. He would no longer be welcomed among the army of Israel. He would no longer be able to go home. Come on. David was now a fugitive from an angry, jealous, envious king. King. Am I right? Who wanted to destroy him. Now listen, here's what I want you to know, and this is the overriding when you stand back and look at this chapter. Our lives can and will change in a moment. In an absolute moment. In an absolute blink of the eye, our lives will change. And listen to me. Listen to me. And emotions will be involved. Why? Because we're human. Because we're human. Amen. You don't think the words, "There's only a step between me and death," aren't emotional? Those are emotional. David didn't know if he was going to be alive the next minute or the next hour. There was only a step between him and death. He is absolutely emotional in all this. And don't think as he's sitting back there waiting for that arrow to drop, waiting to hear the words that Jonathan is going to speak, that there's not emotion involved in that as well. Amen? But here's what I want you to know. This is what God says. Hey, it's going to help you if you listen to this and take it to heart. Because God wants me to tell you this. Because if we understand this, life is going to be a whole lot more bearable. And here it is. What is a lifetime? No matter how long it is, short, long, whatever it is. What is it if it's not simply made up of transition and change? Am I right? That's what it is. That is what life is. It's about changing and transitions. Some will be small. Some will rock your world. But listen to me. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And when you find yourself like that, just reach out and you'll feel His hand. And you just walk with Him and you'll be just fine. Because you and I are in a win-win situation. Am I right? My God is big, man. All right. So I want you to know that, man, these two guys, they envision themselves working together. They envision themselves going out to fight Israel's enemies together, winning victory after victory after victory for the Lord. They envision themselves being together. But now, in just a moment, all gone. David couldn't go back, and Jonathan couldn't leave. And what'd they do? They wept together. Am I right? They wept together. Did I read? Let's read verse 41 and 42. After the boy had gone, David got up from the south side of the stone and bowed down before Jonathan three times with his face to the ground. David knows now that his friendship with him is not in question. It is absolutely not in question. This is a reverence. This is a thankfulness. This is a gratefulness that he is showing Jonathan here. They kissed each other and wept together, but David wept the most. Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, for we have sworn friendship with each other in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord is witness between you and me, and between your descendants and my descendants forever.'" Then David left, and Jonathan went back to town. Wow. So they wept together. Jonathan's got a good reason to weep, right? Not only does he know he's got a wicked father, but he's losing absolutely his best friend. Am I right? But it says David wept the most. Why did he weep the most? Man, David knows from this point he is cut off from everything that is anything in his life. And it happened that fast. That fast in the twinkling of an eye. Amen? So behind David is his friendship with Jonathan. Is that fair to say? Behind David is his relationship with his brothers. Behind David is the relationship with going to see his father. Behind David is the royal favor that he once enjoyed. Behind David are the songs that they sang about David. David killed his 10,000s, if you remember. Behind David is the popularity that he once enjoyed. Behind David is his home life with Michal and their house. That's all behind David. Amen. And what is in front of David? I'll tell you what's in front of David. I think I have a slide for what's in front of David. Here it is. That's right there, right in front of him. And how quick did it show up? Because it's going to happen in your life. Matter of fact, it already has happened in some of your lives. In all of your lives, but you just didn't realize it. Right? That uncertain path. Here it is. Boom! Everything changed in David's life. Everything changed in David's life. And you know, Jonathan and David will only meet once more. Shortly before his death. Amen? And listen, David will not return to normal life, whatever you call normal, for another 20 years. But listen to me. At this point in time, David doesn't know that. David, we get the whole story. We know. We see it. I want to scream to David right now. Hey, 20 years. But he doesn't know that. He doesn't know how long. He is uncertain about that as well. Am I right? Man. This seems to be a very bleak and uncertain path that David is going to have to walk. Am I right? Now, here's what I want to ask you. Is this God's will for David? How can it be God's will for David? He has been anointed king. Am I right? Not only has he been anointed king, the Bible says the Holy Spirit has came powerfully upon him. Not only that, God has said, I'm going to raise up a king who is a man after my own heart. Am I right? Wow. How can somebody be given such a path to walk and have all those credentials? Yes, it is God's path for David. There's no doubt about that. How do you know, Pastor? Well, I read the rest of the story. I did. But here's the deal. Here's the real truth. Couple truth. God's not done with him yet. God still got some bugs to work out. If you read ahead even into the next chapter, David is going to be clawing at wood, foaming at the mouth, acting like a madman. And there's nothing wrong with him. God's still got some work to do. God's still got some bugs to work out. Amen. Listen, you want to be a God, you want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? So about half of you? No, that's fair, because of the half that said they did, maybe one or two might ever make it. Because you're not even aware of the effort it's going to take. You're not even going to be aware of the diligence that you're going to have to put down. Come on, man, look what David's going through. What do you think, he just woke up one day and he was a man after God's own heart? Look at this, he's already been trying to be killed 4, 5, 6 times, 3 assassination squads. What do you think, it's going to be easy to be called a man or a woman after God's own heart? And some of you won't even say the name of Jesus for fear of persecution. Man, you should just go around singing, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, you're going to hear some things, get some looks. Amen. There's power in that name, my friend. Amen. There's power in that name. Oh, I want you to know something else. How I know this is God's path for David. Well, number one, he's in control of everything. Am I right? But you know what? God has often appointed some of his most faithful, most effective people on this path right here. This path. What about Job? Job, the Bible says, was the most righteous man at the time. Am I right? And in a matter of minutes, his family, his livestock, everything Job knew is gone. He's sitting in the dust with boils, scraping it with a piece of broken pottery. You talk about an uncertain path. Come on. That's just one of them. Amen. How about Moses? Moses, you're going to lead my people out of Israel. Remember, he's a stutterer. Yeah, you're going to do it. You talk about an uncertain path. Amen. How about Noah? I want you to build a boat. I'm going to flood the earth. But it hadn't ever rained yet. Come on, man. That's an uncertain path. How about Joseph? Man, I love that story of Joseph. Goes from the pit to the palace. And second in charge of the world, to be honest with you. Come on, man. How about Deborah? In a time when men ruled, God raised up a woman. Come on, man. You think that was an uncertain path for Deborah? How about Ruth and the part she played in the genealogy of Jesus? Her and Boaz had a boy named Obed who happened to give birth to the son called Jesse, who happened to give birth to a son called David. Man, you don't think that was an uncertain path for Ruth and Naomi and all that? You ain't read the book. Come on. How about Rahab? How about Rahab, man? I'm just mentioning a few here, people. But if you're going to be an effective, faithful witness for the Lord, and you're going to be called even close to being after His own heart, you will go through it. You will. Rahab, she lets the spies down. You don't think that's an uncertain path when the walls of Jericho fall down? All of them, all the way around this city, just crumble down to nothing? And then all these Israelites just rush in? You don't think that's an uncertain path? But you know what? God made a promise. God kept that promise. Amen? And is Rahab listed in the genealogy of Jesus?
She sure is.
I do believe that she is. How about the apostles? I always love this. I keep it in the forefront of my mind. Jesus walking by that tax collector's booth. Matthew standing behind the tax collector's booth. And all he said was, follow me. Now listen, when he took that first step, you don't think that was an uncertain path? Absolutely it was an uncertain path. We live on the uncertain path, my friends. How about the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, Acts chapter 9? Boy, you don't think that turned his life upside down all around. It did, man. And he too was placed on that uncertain path. And how long? That long. In that long. That's the way God works, my friends. Amen. What do you think? You're just gonna sit at home on your couch eating bonbons and be a man or a woman after God's own heart? No, you're gonna have to get in the ditches. You're gonna have to get in the trenches. You're gonna have to speak that name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You're gonna have to share the gospel. You're gonna have to fight these lunatoon lefties who happen to be everywhere in this world today. Amen. But I want you to know something. You don't have to fight them alone. I'll stand by you. Amen. If you're standing in the right and you're standing on the truth, I will absolutely stand with you and beside you. Amen. You know why? Because I know somebody else who's standing beside you. Amen. You might not be able to see him, but he's there. In fact, he's the reason that we would be there. Am I right? All right. So this uncertain path is going to play an important part in David's future. Am I right? In David's life. Because if he's going to be placed into a position of authority and a position of power, like to be the king of God's people, to be the king of Israel. Come on, remember, Saul was the people's choice. David is God's choice. That makes a huge difference. He's going to have to learn how to submit to God's authority. Not only that, he's going to have to learn how to trust in God and to trust in God alone. So is God going to put David in a position where he has nothing else but God? If you read ahead, you know it. And this is the beginning of that path. That uncertain path right here. Well, David will have nothing but God. Man, that's a hard place. Come on. Because usually when you have nothing but God, you ain't got nothing else. Nothing else. Amen. So when I look at this and I read this, it's almost like symbolically, God has taken David. I almost picture this in my mind. He reaches down, he grabs him by the ankle, and he holds him upside down. I'm serious. Really? Because everything he knew, everything he thought he had, it's all gone. You get that, right? So it's as if God is holding him upside down. And what's he doing? Emptying him out. Listen, you want to do things for God? You want to be a man or a woman after God's own heart? You're going to have to be willing to be emptied out. Amen. Come on, emptied out. How much, Pastor? You know, I got some things in there I love. No, all of it. Yep. All of it. Because if you don't allow God to empty you out, you know what you're going to do? You're just going to be stale. You're just going to be stale. Let Him empty you out, man, and let Him fill you with what you need to do and be what He wants you to be. Amen. Oh, it's, you say, Pastor, is it a painful process? Can be. But it's worth it. It's absolutely worth it. Amen. Oh, listen, God is always calling you, me, you, calling us, challenging us, am I right? To go beyond the things that we know, to go beyond our comfort zone, to get out of our little bitty boxes that we have created in our lives, am I right? And to get on, step out into the unknown and that uncertain path where all we have is Him. Because it is there, my friend. It is in that place of solitude, when it's only you and Him, that you will grow the most. When there's nothing else to trust in but the great big God that you serve, there spiritual maturity will take place. Amen. I want to remind you of something. Deuteronomy 31:6, God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The writer of Hebrews repeats it, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The last thing Jesus said on this earth before He was taken up, He said, and lo, I am with you always. Listen to me. When you're on that path, don't ever for a minute think you're alone, because you're not. I don't care how bad it looks, how ugly it gets, how dangerous it gets, how the struggle gets. Listen, you are not alone, or my God is a liar. And I got news for you. My God is not a liar. And He has never left me. And He has never forsaken me. And He has always been with me. Amen. Listen to me. Don't be afraid of change. Don't be afraid of transition. You know what you should be afraid of? Not changing. You should be afraid of not changing. And now let me tell you why. Because from the time God saved you, He is trying to, putting all of His effort into getting you and me to understand, He is trying to change us, transform us to look like His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want you to think about this, and I'll close. When you're on that uncertain path, man, you're not alone. I want this to go through. Do you love God? Say amen.
Amen.
Have you been called according to His purpose? Say amen.
Amen.
Romans 8:28. Come on. All things work. When you're on that uncertain path, just keep reading. All things work together for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen.
Amen.
How are you going to be happy and joyful and peaceful on that uncertain road? Knowing that He is trying to change you and transition you to look more like His Son. You know what? I welcome that uncertain road. Bring it on, Lord. I know it's going to be painful. I know it's going to seem like it's a struggle. But I know there's something He's trying to get done. I know there's some kinks He's got to work out. Some bugs He's got to work out. Anybody in here not have any? Amen. That uncertain path. Just remember, you live on it. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. None of you do. You can't tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get up. I'm going to do that. No, you don't know that. I'm going to get up. I'm going to do that. I'm going to eat. I'm going to do that. Brush my teeth. I'm going to go. I'm going to eat lunch. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to come home. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the same thing. No, you don't even know what tomorrow may bring. All of us in here live one step away from death. Amen. And you know what I want God to say to you when you see Him? Well done. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Amen. But if He's going to say that to you, I just want you to know something. You need to get on that path, man, and let Him do some changing. Let Him do some transitioning. Amen. All right, if you would stand with it. Isn't God good, man?
All the time.
Maybe you're on that path. You know, to a degree, we're all on that path. We all get that, right? But maybe something in your life, just like a light switch, man, and you find yourself on that path. Listen to me. I want you to know something. If you belong to Him, you are not alone. He went out of His way to make sure that you and I understood that not only did He love us and would never stop loving us, but He wanted us to know that we were never by ourselves. If you ever feel alone, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Amen? You know, Randy asked me, he said, are you pumped up? I'm always pumped up. I'm always pumped up, man. You know what? I got promises nobody can take. I'm on uncertain paths regularly. Listen, but it doesn't change my destination. No matter what happens along that path, come on. The destination is going to remain the same.
Yes.
And it'll all be worth it.
Yep.
So let's go. Let's go. Get on that path. Get out of that box, man. Get out of your comfort zone. Talk to that person at work that you've never talked to before because you were scared. Talk to them about Jesus. Come on. Do something you wouldn't normally do. And watch the Lord bless you for it.
Amen.
If you need somebody to pray with you this morning, I'll pray with you. Amen. I'm going to go into the invitation time. We're going to open up this altar here. If you need to come and pray for somebody, pray for yourself. You know, just thank God maybe. You're on that uncertain road and you just want to come down here and say, Lord, thank you that you're with me.
Yep.
Or maybe you just need to come down here and grab His hand. Amen? Just get some comfort, some encouragement. Is God a great big God?
Yes.
He's a great big, big God. Let's pray. Father, we've just come before You and we bow before You, and Lord, because You are worthy, truly worthy of all praise and all honor and all glory. We thank You this morning, Lord, for what You've shown us. Not just friendships and providence, Lord. But Lord, You showed us this morning that life can change. And it can change very quickly and very drastically. And we can find ourselves on a path that we may not want to be on, Lord. That path of uncertainty. But Lord, even there, You are with us. Even there, Lord, You have a plan and a process. And Lord, personally, I want to thank You this morning. I want to thank You, Lord, that I understand what that path is. I want to thank You even more that I understand no matter what happens on that path, Lord, my destination will never change. And one day, when I take that final step, I will be with You. Man, I look forward to that day, Lord, to look upon Your face, the One who saved me by His grace. Lord, I love You. Speak to Your people this morning. If there's someone here who doesn't have a relationship with You, Lord, I pray that You would speak to them now. And they would get with me, get with Chris, get with Bruce, get with Pat, get with somebody. Just know we love You, Lord. We commit this time to You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen.